Well, sir, it's a proud moment for the old country.
Yes, at last we've put an Englishman into space. Of course, I realize old Carfax was a little different from all those other astronaut chappies.
Oh, quite, sir, quite.
After all, he didn't really want to go, did he?
True, sir, true. But then, you can't really blame him. I mean, it must have been a trifle disheartening when he heard that our technical blokes hadn't quite perfected the way of getting him out of orbit.
Yes, quite. Still, he did admit afterwards that those 2.5 months up there passed pretty quickly.
That was an excerpt from Around the World in 80 Days. The first in our series, A Film Worth Remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those in need of a lift, may we suggest the one at Broadcasting House? And that, I'm afraid, will give you some idea what to expect from a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Dipsy Whydock and Marigold Pug, the two famous stars of An Evening with Fenton Brockbank and Alicia Sump, Mr. K.N. Pepper, the variety vampire, comedy in a jugular vein, Merton Park, Miss Barbara Building Society.
She's always making advances.
To continue, Alma Bassey, Sir Malcolm Dankworth, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Welcome to this, the first of our new shows. Yes, Beyond Our Ken strikes again. And as we launch the fifth series, we've been provided with the customary bottle of BBC champagne. It's not so much Mum's 29 as Auntie's 84. However, here we are all back again, and it gives me a deep down feeling of being, oh, how shall I put it, lumbered. Anyhow, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. There were the holidays, of course. I spent part of mine on the South Coast Resort, just laying back on the beach, listening to the sound of the waves being drowned by the transistor radios. But the most memorable event of the summer was my trip to Scotland. I'd been reading a lot about the Loch Ness Monster and decided to investigate for myself. So, one morning in July, I left the flat and started out on my big adventure by hailing a taxi. Oh, thank goodness for a moment I didn't think you were going to stop.
Me? Not stop? London taxi driver? Sure. That's a real old London taxi. Look, sir. Not one advertisement on it.
Yes. I can see you don't approve of the new cab service.
Well, sir, let's face it. We chaps have been at it for quite a few years, you know. There's not much we don't know about this taxi lock. Knowledge and experience will always tell, sir. Now, where to?
King's Cross Station.
Where's that?
Good heavens, you don't know where King's Cross Station is?
No, I'm afraid you got me there, sir. King's Cross Station. Sure. Well, fancy after all these years. Looks as if at last I'll bet me Waterloo, doesn't it? You know, sir, it is a pity.
Yes. A pity about that one, wasn't it?
I was going to say, it's a pity you hadn't asked me to take you somewhere nice and easy in London, like, for instance, the Federation of Allied Blast Furnaces Jazz Club. Yeah, tiny little place, but I know where it is, all right.
Well, I doubt if I shall ever want to go there.
Oh, you don't like jazz, Tom?
Well, I'm quite a lover of jazz, yes, but quite frankly, I'm not terribly keen on blast furnaces.
Oh, pity.
Still, purely as a matter of interest, where is this place?
Just behind King's Cross Station.
Oh, well, that'll do, and I'll walk from there. By the way, is this a radio cab?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Switch the radio on, will you?
Right, sir.
Why, choice. First of all, good morning to Major General Farquharson Somerset and all the boys in room 14 at the War Office. Sorry, but the song you requested hasn't been recorded by Elvis Presley. However, here is Fascinating Rhythm, sung now by lovely Jill Day.
Rhythm, you got me on the go. Fascinating rhythm, I'm all a quiver. Fascinating rhythm, the neighbors wanna know why I'm always shaking like a flipper. Each morning I awake with the sun to find at night no work has been done. I know that once it is matter, but now you're doing wrong. When you start to patter, I'm so unhappy. Won't you take a day off, try to run along somewhere far away off and make it snappy? Oh, how I long to be the girl I used to be. fascinating rhythm. Stop your picking on me. It's not the mambo spinning around in my brain. And it's not the voodoo driving me half insane. I find the rhythm terribly hard to define. It's not the biome that I'm high on, and it's no idea that I hear. And of course, it's not the waltz, my dear, that drives me out of my mind. Fascinating rhythm, you got me on the go. Fascinating rhythm, I'm a quiver. Fascinating rhythm.
Our next request goes out to a Mr. Kenneth Horne in a taxi somewhere in London. Mr. Horne tells us that in the interest of time, he wishes to get to Scotland very quickly. So here for you, Mr. Horne, is Paul Fenelay and the BBC Variety Orchestra with A Music Link.
Yes, well, thank you, Paul. Now, here I am in a little hotel at the side of the famous Loch in Inverness, sitting in the lounge and being looked at rather strangely by a bearded gentleman in a kilt. And, he's coming across to me now.
Excuse me, sir, but what on earth are you muttering about?
Oh, nothing really, just a bit of narrative. Anyway, I wasn't really muttering, I was talking.
That didn't sound like it to me.
Well, now, your trouble is you can't tell the difference between talk and mutter.
You're from over the border, aren't you?
Yes, I
thought as much. Do you mind if I ask you something?
No, not at all.
Good. It's something we Scotsmen have always wanted to know about you Englishmen.
What's that?
Do you wear anything underneath your trousers?
Oh, yes, that's very good, Mr.
The name's Murdoch.
Oh. Well, my name's Horne. It sounds like a double act, doesn't it? Do you know anything about the monster around here?
I most certainly do.
Anger!
Here she comes now. I'm off.
Anger! Anger! Oh, where's the weirdy with the beardy? Oh, begging your pardon, I didn't see you there. You're Scot?
No, but I've got a very strong link with Scotland.
What's that?
Whiskey. And you?
I'm Aggie Muggish.
Well, I'm sorry, I hope it's nothing serious.
Now, do you like poetry?
Yes, I do.
Then perhaps you'll know this. O'er the misty glen and heather, by the loch side stands a group, in the muckle gloomy weather, drinking bowls of locks and soup.
Oh, yes, of course, the great Rabbi Burns. Tell me something about your apparel now. Is that hunting steward?
No.
Fighting MacDonald?
No.
What is it then?
Cycling Macintosh.
Well, perhaps you can help me, madam. Have you seen very much of the monster?
No, no, I never watch it myself.
No, 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 not television, not television. I meant the famous Loch Ness monster.
Oh, aye, the monster. Nessie, as it's known around here. Many's the time in the early hours of the morning I've seen it, rising up out of the water, its humped back and long neck with the head of a serpent. Eyes large and glistening like the lights on some phantom ship in the night. And steam, hot belching steam, pouring out of its nostrils, shaking its head with fury. Aye, Mr. Horne.
I'm in the cupboard under the stairs.
Come on out of there now.
Oh, dear, is it really as hideous as that?
Aye, is that? Why don't you go and see Nessie for yourself?
That's a good idea. I'll try and catch it unawares. And if you should happen to see it first...
Aye?
Not a word to Nessie about this.
Bunny bang, turn by on bunny bring. When the moon shines,
I say, excuse me, is this your boat?
Aye, that's right, sir. The Tartan Queen. I'm Sandy.
Yes, you are a bit, aren't you?
Aye, well, I've been scraping the bottom.
Yes. So were we with that one about Sandy, weren't we? Is it possible to hire your boat?
Well, you'll have to ask the skipper. That's him over there.
All right. Oh, skipper, I'm Kenneth Horn. Can I have a word with you?
Aye. Shan't be a second. Just finishing off these nets for the next trip.
Are you a fisherman?
No, but out there the wind plays havoc with your hair.
Well, it won't bother me, will it? Now, look now, do you think you could take me out to the middle of the loch?
Oh, Sandy, we've another one here. I suppose it's the monster you're hoping to see.
Well, yes, I thought we might just pop out to the loch, have a peep and pop back again. Now, what about this rowing boat?
£30.
Right.
This is the spot where the monster usually appears.
Aye. Wait. Hark. It's him. The monster. He's coming up the loop.
Are you sure?
Aye, look, there he is. The head. The head's rearing out of the water. A fearsome, ugly thing it is.
Get back, you repulsive creature.
Hello, hello.
Oh, good heavens, are you the Loch Ness Monster?
Yes. Yes, I have that pleasure. Here, wait a minute. Aren't you Kenneth Owen?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wait till I tell the other monsters I've seen you.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, none of us believe there really was a Kenny's own.
And now here are four people we really believe in. Back with us once more, the Fraser Hayes Four.
What? Till the sun shines fairly, when the clouds go drifting by, we will be happy, Nelly. Don't you sigh. Down lover's lane we'll wander, sweetheart, you and I. Wait till the sun shines fairly by and by. On a Sunday morn, sat a maid forlorn with her sweetheart by her side. Through the window pane, she looked at the rain. We must stay home, Joe, she cried. There's a picnic too, near a river view. It's a shame it rained today. Then the boy drew near, kissed away each tear, and she heard him softly say,
wait till the sun shines, Nelly, when the clouds go rolling by. We will be happy, Nelly, please don't sigh. Cause the waters as they flow means it's raining, don't you know? Rain's in season now, so you just have to wait till the sun shines, Nelly, when the clouds go drifting by. We will be happy, Nelly. Sweetheart, you and I. Wait till the sun shines, Nelly, by and by. Wait till the sun shines, Nelly, by and by.
And so to the Kenneth Horn documentary feature, Hornorama. Once again, Kenneth Horn and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And
This week we present a close-up on entertainment. Have the big stars of the theater lost their following?
And if so, have striptease artists got all the fans? Well, now, first of all, let's have a word with a very famous personality, the famous Austrian folk singer Hans. Good evening.
Good evening, and I'm delighted to be here with you on the British Wireless.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Hans. Mr. Hans, I believe you're known for your rather risque little folk song.
That is true, yes. I am known affectionately in my own country as Dirty Hans.
I wonder if you'd care to sing one of your famous folk songs for us this evening.
Well, with much pleasure. I would like to sing you the Unter Alpen Grab Auto Unter Alpen song.
Oh, I'm delighted. Now, nice. can you tell us something about this folk song?
Yes, certainly. This little song tells the story of a young woodcutter's daughter who is sitting by the lake one day, and when she suddenly looks in the water and sees there reflected the image of the Bavarian prince.
Yes.
That she has heard about. Who is the son of the Baron?
I quite understand.
The Baron, yes. And mind you, the Baron, you see, has forbidden his son with the prince, which he is seeing the image in the water. So he has forbidden him to see the woodcutter's daughter because she is not the same sort of cutter there. You understand?
Naturally, yes.
Yes, and then she sees him coming up and on this big horse. She sees him reflected in the water, and as she sees him, she turns round, mm-hmm. She looks into his eyes, and she sings this song to him.
Well, I'm afraid we haven't got time for the song now.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming along. Thank you. And now standing beside me is a very attractive actress. Good evening.
Hello there.
Well, how charming you look in that very provocative dress. You know, it's hard to think of you as a straight actress.
Well, Mr. Horner, I'm glad you find my dress so fetching.
Yes, I think perhaps you'd better go and fetch the rest of it.
You naughty, naughty boy.
Thank you very much. Now, tell me... I believe that in your new play, which has just opened, the cast is entirely male, and you are the only woman.
That's true, yes.
And you think you'll be running for long?
Why should I run, darling?
Thank you. And now we're privileged to meet the stage doorkeeper at a very famous Shakespearean theatre. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir. Good evening to you, and thank you for asking.
Well, now, sir, would you tell us something about this theatre that specializes in Shakespeare?
Oh, the Old Dick. Yes. I've been there for quite some time.
Yes. How long have you actually been there?
It's so hard to remember exactly. Still, I've seen them all come and go in my time. We've had 22 different Othellos, 18 Macbeths, 14 Harry Fives, and about 35 Lears.
How many, sir?
35 Lears. Yes.
Well, sir, now, what is your favorite Shakespearean piece?
Claire Bloom.
I meant a particular bit.
Oh, that's right, Claire Bloom. Yeah. Oh,
no, sir, no.
I wish
look,
he was a lovely girl.
Yeah, I'm sure she was.
Oh, ha, ha,
I bet it does. Well, never mind.
I've got a bit of life.
Let me put it differently. Which of the Shakespeare plays do you enjoy most?
Oh, yes. As You Like It, sir. That's my favorite. Where the lady with the golden hair rides through Coventry with nothing on, all down the street.
But that's not As You Like It.
That's As I Like It.
Well, now, show business is a pretty wide term and, of course, embraces many different forms of entertainment. And for anyone who has to appear before the public, there's always a certain amount of tension and strain. Now, in times like this, how comforting it is to have that kind word of encouragement from a close friend.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. Honestly, I don't know how you do it. Night after night, don't you ever get nervous?
Petrified,
Rodney. Oh, absolutely petrified. I don't mind admitting to you there are times when I feel I just cannot face them. It must be nerve-wracking for you. Aren't you ever frightened of making a mistake?
Of course I am. And I'm in constant fear with anyone in my position.
Yes.
But then one just has to appear cool, calm, and connected.
Yes, you certainly do that. Huh? Well, really, when you're working, you look so composed and confident.
And do I really, though?
Yes. I don't know what it is, but you seem to have that certain something that can hold a crowd absolutely spellbound.
No, you're not just saying that.
No. Would I spend every evening here if I didn't think you were fabulous?
Thank you, Ross. Well, shall I go again?
Good luck, Charles. I shall be listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you. Ready? Eyes down for a full out. Watch your number. Thank you, David. Make it a clip all the sixes. Two cats ladies, thank you.
Finally, we turn to our panel of experts in Horner Armor who are all ready to discuss a question on this week's topic. First of all, top of the table, famous personality, journalist, economist, and egotist, Dalcombe Ditheridge.
Good evening.
Good evening. Next to him is the celebrated Irish poet and peasant. Author of such works as Leprechaun's My Foot. And I'm Not Taking You Home Again, Kathleen. Mr. Seamus O'Toole.
Hello there. Up the Irish.
Next to him, we're pleased to have with us Lady Violent Dodgem Carr.
Good evening. Good evening.
And lastly, in the tweed suit and ruddy complexion, well-known countryman Arthur Fallowfield.
Well, I'm delighted to be able to bring a breath of the farm to this panel.
Well, that's our team of experts. And so to this week's question on the topic of show business, which comes from...
Mortimer Fick. I should like to ask the panel whether they feel that there should be more culture in the theatre today.
Thank you, sir. Well, now, should there be more culture in the theatre? Lady Valent, Dodgem Carr.
Well, of course. I think many factors come into this. One has to bear in mind the social strata as it exists today, and if we as human beings are to fulfill our chosen function. Remembering, of course, that as such, the mere patronymic derivations go some way, I think, towards a more fundamental transmutation. Then, undoubtedly, the solution one must inevitably arrive at is... What was the question again?
Well, I think we'll pass on to Fallowfield. Culture in the theatre. Now, what do you think, Arthur?
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. Not so much culture we need is horticulture. Mm-hmm. I fill the theatres with the beautiful flowers of the countryside. I know. Shut your cake. I'm talking to you. Yeah, well, she goes. You've got to put a clock in it every now and again. Yeah, well, I know. In my corner of the world just at this time, everything is blooming lovely. Let's have more plays like The Flowering Cherry and Lilac Time and Wild Violet.
Yes, I mean, interject at this time.
What have you got to say, Dillard?
Well, I feel we're rather missing a point here and perhaps being a little too esoteric because...
What was that? Oh, I'll have you know I'm not at all, whatever you said.
Please, my dear fellow, you're misconstruing me.
Nothing to what I'll be doing to you. If there's any more remarks like that, I'll give you a right back.
Quite unnecessary. What I was going to say is that we are essentially lacking the more traditional theatre. I feel we should go back to, say, Aristophanes and Sophocles.
What's the matter with Morecambe and Wise?
Well, I'm afraid that'll take too long to discuss. Continue, Ditheridge.
Well, of course, I do realise the Greek dramas would have to be dressed up for the modern theatre. Sugarcoat the pill, as it were.
Well, manure, that's what you want. Manure. They want none of your chemicals.
I was thinking perhaps Mankiewicz could do a musical of the Greek tragedies. I mean, that last one of his was quite a tragedy. Yes, let's have more things like the dialogues of Plato.
No, there, I agree. Good family entertainment. Yes. I wouldn't stop at Plato. I'd have Goofy and Donald Duck as well.
Lady Violet, what are your views on this, Lady Violet?
Oh, dear. Well, I'm afraid I can't add very much to the discussion. I've been having a quiet kip.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question myself at this juncture.
Yes, at all.
What time do the pubs open?
Well, I think they're open now, Fallowfield.
Yes, I'm almost certain of that.
Yes, as far as I know.
Lady Violet?
Yes, I'll go along with that, yes.
Well, we're all agreed that the pubs are open now, and it seems to be as good a time as any to bring this week's discussion to a close. Well, there you are. There'll be another Horner Armour next week when the subject will be underwear manufacturers, do they have vested interest? Also, in next week's program, there'll be a barrel organ recital of music by Handel. We shall be having a demonstration of color radio. And there'll be a talk given by the Secretary of the National Trust on what can be done to preserve John Bitumen. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now, leaving you with this thought from a listener in Canterbury. If an orchestra wants to get thunderous applause, should it have a lightning conductor? Good night. You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Jill Day, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Menemann wrote the script, and the show is produced by Jake Sprouse.